Off the Ball
Rugby.
Now, it's very easy to look into after defeat and say, oh, that doesn't look well. Oh, that's not right. There's something wrong the camp there when your captain goes and spoils and gets himself a ridiculous yellow card. Or when your captain turns around and shouts at the head halves, take the three. Do what I tell you, take the three.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
He's got a goal! Oh,
the Saints are marching on with three wins on the trot after a shaky start in the SSE Electricity Premier Division.
The ball comes in and they score from the free kick. Would you believe
Heading
it?
Down the rocky road to Dublin to face St Pat's this Friday night are Doherty United.
Conor Keighley rises once again.
Doherty's men are in the doghouse after two defeats in their last two matches. Will the informed James Brown help the Saints get payback after two home draws against the Louthmen last year?
Brilliant performance for St Pat's tonight.
Vinnie Perth will be with Phil Egan at Richmond Park. It's the League of Ireland. It's live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 on Friday night.
That was a superb bit of play.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Paddy Hatcher is with us. Morning, Paddy. Good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Dara also here. Dara, how are you?
Hi, Ger. How are you, Paddy?
Valverde's hat trick goal was like street football in its finest form.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it was Mark Gay he did there.
Mm.
And Donnarumma. You're like, when you're in the back garden commentating to yourself, it's like, oh, flicks it over. Sticks it past.
Like, I think it was his whole performance not like that. All three of the goals were
playing out of position as well, playing right wing.
Right or over, lads. It was.
Yeah.
It was a throwback. He is a bit of a throwback, though, isn't he?
Like,
South American, fiery, just running all over the pitch.
Yeah,
He was sensational. City, not so much. But the Champions League, it's been a bit disappointing, has it? Like from its maybe 4 or 5 years ago, its peak and the drama. Maybe it's just from the English team, the Premier League's team's perspective, that it's looking like a very weak performance across the Premier League teams. Arsenal will probably still go through, but all the others are hanging on with their fingers, aren't they?
Even Arsenal, you're like, somebody was talking about their performance being cagey last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's how they are at the moment. And a lot of the English teams they play are like, oh, eventually you're going to score a header against us. And it's like, the German team's like, what? Well, I don't care about this. Sorry, what's your reputation? We don't care. So I don't know. I'm not writing Leverkusen off just yet.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's just from looking at City, and I know we'll probably talk about Pep even as well. Like,
it's
4 or 5 years ago, the Premier League was absolutely dominant. We had the All English final, obviously Liverpool and Spurs. Then just post COVID, we'd City, Chelsea. City obviously win the treble. Guardiola, Klopp, just Tuchel obviously at Chelsea. There was proper dominance, and it goes in cycles. You look at the Italian teams now as well, like, sir, they've no one left coming into this round, and Atalanta were the only team, they lost 6-1 at home. So Serie A has obviously gone through a bit of a reboot as well, but the Premier League, just the standard which we assumed, you looked at the title race and just said there's no outstanding team. That's why you think Arsenal should, despite all their hiccups, are probably going to win this thing. But like, City are way off Guardiola's peak teams. Liverpool obviously nowhere near the levels they were under Klopp. Like, Tottenham are in the Champions League. They're going to be possibly in the Championship in 2 months' time, you know? So it's just the cycle of English dominance in the Champions League was definitely at an end. And I thought the City game just encapsulated that last night. We know it's not a vintage Guardiola team. We know it's not vintage City, but I don't think it's a brilliant Madrid team either, particularly without Bellingham and Mbappe. So to lose 3-0, that tie looks gone. And for Pep, you know, is this the last season of Pep?
It feels like it's drifting towards the dampest of damp squibs.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like, will people remember the end, or will they remember the absolute peak of his time at Man City? And do we retrospectively go, they played great football, they were good to watch? No one really loved that City team at any point.
No, it was awful to watch at times. But you kind of respect in how he was able to, he innovated football, really. Like, he changed the game.
He did at Barcelona, which is obviously nearly 20 years ago now.
Yeah, but the teams are still playing the same way. You know, it hasn't really progressed a huge amount from that. And even,
well, the response has been to become what Liverpool, or sorry, what Arsenal have to become, which
Wimbledon. Wimbledon from the 90s.
To bully them off.
Yeah. It's like, and that's only this season and towards the end of last season, really.
I think Guardiola's legacy is pretty secure, despite what happens.
His time at City, though, how will we think about that?
He won the treble at City.
Yeah, they were pretty dominant.
5 league titles, 100 points in the Premier League. Yeah. No, he, despite whatever happens over the next 2 months. And they look, the League Cup final in a couple of weeks against Arsenal, which is going to be just a brilliant game and story around that. They're not out of the title race, but I said there'll probably be a few more slip-ups along the way, but I don't think they're going to win that. But you look back, he won the treble at City, the underwhelming treble. As a Man United fan, I would say our City 99 treble is the best one, the most exciting
dramatic,
one.
Anyway.
Dramatic, yeah. But he's won the treble at City, 4 Premier League titles in a row, broke 100 points, as Dara said, kind of changed. He'd already kind of changed continental football, but English football, you look across, watching the FA Cup the last couple of weeks, teams in League One and League Two trying to play this out from the back, doesn't always work. But his influence is, will go beyond maybe a underwhelming final season. I think his legacy is pretty safe.
Are you unsure?
I just think that nobody's going to remember the period with the love that they, like, you know, Wenger's Invincibles, Wenger's team, the first team that came through with Vieira and Petit. People love those teams, even the non-Arsenal fans. The United fans, even the non-United fans, have a grudging respect for the two wingers and Keane. And this City team, obviously, De Bruyne was incredible to watch. Like, always, always great to watch.
Aguero. But you're probably right in that route. Like,
once they got Haaland, it was like, oh, you've got the best player because you've got the most money and he's going to score all the goals. And it was... like that was the treble season, right? The first season he arrived, am I right?
I think so.
The asterisk of the charges is always there.
Okay.
Like, just, I mean, you're biased as a Man United fan, you obviously
you're
coming from a net negative start.
Yeah. I know, I'd still, like, I don't
like Liverpool's Klopp, everybody.
I was kind of like Arsenal's Invincibles, like say the first team, the 98 double. Obviously, United had a couple of teams, but even Klopp's Liverpool, it was like they were brilliant to watch. You know, it was box office stuff.
Yeah.
And Guardiola at times, like say, it's a different style of play, more intricate, but yeah, maybe they're not. City will never be top of anyone's. Jeez, what a brilliant team. Looking back fondly as a neutral. Whereas, you know, even Mourinho's Chelsea. That was a brilliant Premier League team, back-to-back titles.
The first one with Drogba and Arjen Robben. Yeah.
Such a shithouse, Mourinho, that maybe... I think, you look back, they're still a very popular team, you know.
That one was, the second one, when he comes back, not so... Even Conte's league-winning team, you're like, all right, fair play.
Yeah. You know? But like Pep's character, I think the league would miss him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, it's like...
Where's he going to go if he goes?
He says he's going to retire for many years and then he lists off 7 years, so I won't work again. And I don't know.
I'd say he retires and then goes, I think Spain. He manages Spain one day.
I don't think he's managing Spain.
Do you not think at some point?
I don't think he's managing Spain. He's a proud traveler.
Maybe not because of that.
I'd be very surprised if he does.
Yeah.
Maybe he will. I don't know. Like, you know, all things change and maybe...
Pep going to Saudi, like, I don't know if that's his bag either. It's like trillions and trillions of dollars that they will throw at him.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does just hang up the boots.
Maybe he takes 5 years off and then Ancelotti gives up the Brazil job and he takes the Brazil job and has the crack doing that. Mm. That World Cup will be in Spain, Portugal and...
He did play 47 times for Spain, in fairness.
No, I know, but there's,
He did play for Catalonia as well.
He's very active on the Catalan side as well.
He's only 55. As far as managerial ages go... He's certainly not old. Like, he still has plenty to give.
He's intense, lads, isn't he?
Yeah, and from day one.
Yeah. relentless. Jeez, like Klopp getting worn out.
Like the Barcelona B team that he had, about 5 of them ended up being stalwarts in the team that became the greatest club side of all time. So he wasn't going in there relaxed because it's Barcelona B. He's like looking at Busquets going, I'm going to make you one of the best footballers in the world.
That's 07, so nearly 20 years. So it'll be 20 years next season.
Yeah, with a 1 year hiatus in...
with a little break in New York.
In New York.
Interesting to see.
Would you miss him?
But it's absolutely.
I think so. Yeah. I think like, the Premier League definitely would. Yeah, you know, definitely. He's a superstar. Like.
Who do they get in?
I don't know.
Zesk. Yeah. Zesk will be in high demand. Yeah. Xabi Alonso is going to be in high demand.
Arteta.
Would Vincent Kompany take it? Vincent Kompany's got a pretty good job at the moment.
Could win the Champions League with Bayern. Yeah. Where they're going as well.
You know.
But if he wins the Champions League with Bayern.
Would Amorim come back to Manchester? He was the next guy. United swooped in. Jesus Christ.
Good bit of business, that.
Yeah, that was good. Sabotage. Yeah.
The Kompany's an interesting one. Like, say he wins the Champions League this season. Feels like he's done the job, but Bayern, he's done
it. Then you stay 20 years, no?
Yeah, boy, leave. Yeah.
Managers don't tend to stay at Bayern that long.
Well, they all get thrown out because they don't.
The hierarchy. Maybe all these lads. Like.
It's a pretty young team there as well, so maybe he sticks with the project. But I can't. I'd imagine that the City job would be one he wants one day, surely.
It's a tough task as well, though, following Guardiola, isn't it?
Yeah, and you and find out what the story is with the charges and let somebody else clean up whatever that mess is, and then you come in.
They'll find someone, though.
City could be in the Championship along with Spurs. What a Championship title race we have next season. Spurs and Man City, yeah.
Imagine City beats Spurs in the playoffs.
I'll run you through the newspaper headlines here. The I paper, Virtuoso Valverde. City seed advantage at Madrid man's stunning hat-trick to give Guardiola a headache. Murillo on United radar as Martinez injury exposes lack of depth in defence. So Lisandro Martinez is going to be out for the Villa game. His calf injury is proving more damaging than they thought. And Murillo's only 23. He's been excellent for Forest ever since he arrived. The Mirror, creaking door, Igor to stay, but players unhappy with methods. So everybody's starting to bitch and moan publicly. Or sorry, not publicly, but to their agents about Igor Tudor's methods. Apparently, Jed Spence tapped him on the shoulder when he got subbed off the other day to say, "You'll shake my hand." It's kind of,
Lads, they cannot keep that guy in there.
No, if his players are teaching him manners. Yeah,
the media has already moved against him. There's nobody fighting Igor Tudor's corner there, I'm afraid.
Tudor loses players' respect. Spurs star is left shocked by interim head coach's treatment of goalkeepers Vicario and Kinski. I mean,
it is like one of the worst cases of man management ever. It was shocking.
Jerry, you're the sole man behind Igor Tudor, you're happy with him.
No,
Igor all the way.
Get him gone. At this stage, Harry and Jamie Redknapp combined would do better than him.
Harry's in Cheltenham with JD. Is he coming on this morning?
Yeah. The bad man management is not like acknowledging him as he comes off, but the bad man management is not taking him off.
Well, he shouldn't have started him.
I don't know. Clearly.
Vicario's
awful.
He's not awful.
He's been awful. His form has been terrible.
I don't mind the change as much, but I'm kind of with you on this, chair as well. Like, his head was completely gone. You do probably have to get him off. And Joe Hart was the most vociferous because the game was on BT and he's obviously in the goalkeepers' union. So there's a little bit of pinch of salt with what Joe was saying. But, I don't mind taking him off. Like, if you're a Tottenham player on the pitch, you're looking back at your goalkeeper. He is clearly. Like Alvarez hadn't even scored the goal itself, and Kinski's his head in his hands, and he's having a breakdown.
Like, in fairness,
I think taking him off is probably fair.
Would you have taken Mickey van de Ven off as well, and the other fellas that were losing the ball?
You'd have no subs left. And I think because the goalkeeper was such an obvious psychological, he was broken. But to not, I do agree, but to just completely ignore him walking off is just...
Like, they're already planned on sending
him a whole handshake or a pat in the head, anything, to just completely blank him. It just looks horrific. And you've lost that player for the rest of the season.
They're sending him out alone in the summer, the Telegraph had yesterday. They've already planned a loan deal for him. So
in advance of what happened in Madrid?
After.
Gone anyway.
After, yeah. Mm. So he's not going to play for Tottenham again, realistically.
No. But, do you think he should? But the scenario in which he can recover from that and then be like, oh yeah, we can, the Spurs fans like, oh, that's the guy who cost us.
You're totally rootless there. He's obviously a decent goalkeeper somewhere. He's had a slip and then...
Liverpool fans never wanted to see Lars Karius.
I know.
Again. They were like, look, you've had your opportunity there and unfortunately it didn't work out for you. It's not you, it's us.
But do you know what it does?
It was a Champions League final though.
It gives as you can already see, it gives all the Tottenham players a valid excuse for the nonsense they've been producing for the last. Not just this season. Like, they finished, what, 17th last season, and Ange with the miracle in Bilbao to get them into the Champions League. But they've been absolutely awful for 18 months. And all the players now have an excuse because there's a pile on Igor.
That's what I didn't like, that he was scapegoated a wee bit. It's like, oh, this keeper is just... And to be fair, he was... Fecking up. Like, he was the cause of at least two of their goals. But at the same time, the whole
match.
Team were given the ball.
What's been happening for the last 9 months?
Exactly,
They're going to get relegated.
Well, Van de Ven was a disgrace. Should have been sent off.
It has been a disgrace for the last.
And if he had been sent off, it would have been nine. Iran have dropped out of the World Cup, according to their sports minister, saying that they couldn't possibly go when.
Is that official? I heard rumours about that. It's probably expected.
Very difficult to see how it's. Going to
any word from Infantino in the last week and his Peace Prize superstar Donald Trump on
Trump says he doesn't care. He was asked a question about it. He's like, Infantino. I don't care. I haven't heard what Infantino has said in the last 24 hours. The back of the Daily Mail this morning, Jockey Race Row. They were talking about this last night on the evening show. The British Horse Racing Authority are investigating an allegation of racism after a televised spat between two jockeys on the second day of the Cheltenham Festival. So it's Nico de Boinville, who was riding Act of Innocence. He's Nicky Henderson's main jockey. And Declan Queeley, who is an amateur. He was on board I'll Sort That. And de Boinville was lashing him out of it. You could hear on the telly. And then afterwards, Declan Queeley made a point of stopping and talking to ITV and saying that the abuse that he had was horrific. He mentioned the fact that he was an amateur, kind of suggesting that de Boinville wouldn't have done this to one of the pros because they wouldn't have stood for it, and de Boinville might have felt like he was able to punch down. And then he spoke to the Racing Post and went a good bit further. It was competitive down there and I got repeated racial abuse from Nico de Boinville when I was coming in around the corner, and then he called me an effing prick a couple of times in front of the ITV camera. I just didn't talk back to him. Thankfully, I didn't open my mouth. De Boinville was asked as well on ITV about what Queeley had said, and he was like, oh, he needs to look at himself in the mirror.
Mm.
But de Boinville has, in the last while, had an issue. He talked about the Irish lads coming over and some of the amateurs screwing up the starts. So it obviously had been brewing for a while. Afterwards, the stewards did ban Queeley for a day on the back of not just Queeley, but like five riders in the race were banned, two for 2 days because it's their second offence, and three of them for 1 day for screwing up the start. So the Boinville frustrated, lashes out, goes too far.
You bloody Irish, that's what we're looking at here.
It must be, yeah.
Something like that.
Scratch beneath the surface, never too far away, is it?
Yeah.
It's never too far away.
Simmering underneath.
My blood was boiling watching de Boinville's interview at ITV after. I was like,
really?
Yeah, just, you could tell, like, and I suppose the overwhelming reaction to it as well. People were not surprised with the incident that had happened, and that there maybe have been incidents like that before.
He has previous.
But, I don't know. It's seems pretty serious.
Will we see? Well, what's going to happen? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they investigated and then he's stood down for a day, like in 6 weeks' time, some midweek festival that aren't, not even festival, some midweek, whatever the racetrack equivalent of Slough is. He doesn't have to go there for the afternoon. He's like, Grant, rest up. And the back page of the Mail is the front page of the Irish Times. It's the picture of Ronnie Delaney breasting the tape in Melbourne in 1956, winning the 1500 metres as a 21-year-old and Olympic gold medal. He passed away at the age of 91. He just turned 91. He had a short illness and passed away, I think, late last night. So we will speak with Carl Denny a little bit more about this. But and actually, we have an interview with that. Ronnie Delaney came into us, I think it was in 2012, for about an hour and just talked about all his career. And so we'll play that out after 10 o'clock on the Go Loud app this morning, or you can get it as well on Go Loud Radio. Our first gold medal.
70 years.
You did that interview.
Yeah, incredible energy. for somebody who at that stage was already, was he nearly in his 80s or certainly close enough to it. Totally compass-mentous, incredible detail and recall of everything from...
Really?
Like, yeah, yeah. And I had this kind of high wattage self-confidence was like, yeah, I want to go
I'm
now.
The man.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, he was
very un-Irish, right? And then actually you see the athletes now and they're like, no, we're going out to compete, you know? Yeah. And they're all channeling their...
He was in college in the States.
Went to Villanova.
Had he come after Melbourne? Did he come? But was he based in Ireland, or did he go back to the States?
As far as I know, yeah, we were looking at his post athletics career because it was obviously amateur. Now, I think they were making money for winning the Wanamaker Mile and stuff like that. But I'm not
right.
In the 50s. I don't know if it quite
to Ireland 60s and 70s and having that kind of confidence and energy. You feel like maybe
you'd stand out. It's like having a tan.
Yeah, go back to the States, and I don't know.
He had the same coach as Coughlin had, and then obviously Sonia ends up at Villanova as well. Yeah. So our connection with that university is very storied. I'm not sure if he was the first one to take that path. I was like, he talked about running up Buckingham Street. He'd get off the train at Connolly, and then every day he'd run to school. He went to Belvedere.
Yeah.
How do you know somebody went to Belvedere? They'll tell you. So he would run up Buckingham Street, right?
And the phone lines are hopping here, Jerry. I can't say that.
Dave McIntyre and Andy Dunner on to me, like, yeah, well, I mean, we mentioned that in confidence. Anyway, that hill in Buckingham Street, he said, was one of the things that actually turned him into a runner. I was like, and then Sonia Sullivan talked about running up hills in Cove.
Yeah.
They're steep as well. Like,
yeah.
Run up those hills in Cove, it's good terrain, it's a good base.
Willie Mullins has a hill in Close Sutton. Aidan O'Brien has one. One of the other O'Briens, when they were talking about trying to find a place to train, was like, I needed a hill. It was like, and then there's that hill in Clare that the lads ran up to win the All Ireland in the 90s.
Lara Gillespie.
No hills, no?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Jeez, only two kids. I need to get them up to the Pope's Cross this weekend. Yeah. Get up there. Get out of one, an Olympic champion in 20 years now. There, that's how it starts.
Lara Gillespie is one of the modern examples as well. Her driveway is like a 20% gradient steep hill. So running and cycling up that as a youngster, she attributes that to her success as well. You said before there's a book in it.
There is, yeah.
There,
in the right
really
hands,
is.
Obviously. I'm the wrong.
That's the secret. So Sport Ireland, all their national sports camps out in Aberystwyth, forget about it.
Yeah.
Just find a really steep hill
and
let them off.
Yeah.
There you go.
Loads of the American colleges, their football programs, they build hills on the training ground to make people run up it, but... Anyway, that's my
there is a book in this.
There definitely is.
Bestseller.
My half-baked theory. City Surrender is the headline on the Telegraph this morning. And shock, Spurs players have no faith in Tudor is the headline of Matt Lawless.
Look at yourself, lads. He's not great, but come on. You've got to take some sort of accountability yourselves.
They do, don't they? Yeah. The chief executive and Johan Lange, the sporting director, they appointed Tudor. They have to decide now whether to sack him either side of Liverpool's game. If you're the guy who recommended him and you're saying, okay, we got that wrong, we have to sack him.
Heads are going to roll.
It's not just his head, is it?
I think the Lewis family are going to be looking for a couple of sacrifices here, I feel. Was he not, Paratici recommended him though? And he's already gone.
Well, Matt Law's piece here is saying that it's the two lads who are in, so Venkatesham, the chief executive, and Johan Lange, who was at Villa and seems to be able to buy good players, but obviously not. He
coaches not so much.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be gone. It's just a case of when they get rid of
him.
So Liverpool is Sunday. Liverpool game is this Sunday?
Sunday,
half past four, live on Off the Ball with JD.
Oh, there you go.
That is must listen.
McIlroy delays fitness verdict for players, so we still don't know how fit the...
If he wasn't defending champion, you'd get the sense he wouldn't be playing at all. But the Masters were less than 40 days away. I'm counting, marking the days off with a red pen. If he's done his back and had to pull out 3 or 4 days ago, that's the risk to go and try and play again this week. I know it's a huge tournament and as defending champion, but...
Harrington always says, beware the injured golfer. They just play within themselves and they don't give themselves any pressure and it's like, oh, sure, it doesn't matter what happens.
Mm.
So
it's a back injury, the way he's...
It is. Oh, look,
you got a back injury, Ger? Are you old enough to have had back
injuries? Yes, yeah.
They're not great.
No, they aren't.
They're not great. I'd love to see him because it's, well, it's going to be a great tournament, as I always have the next 4 days. But yeah, I'd say, Rory, just let me sit this one out. Look after yourself. There's bigger fish to fry.
There are bigger fish to fry. Verdigris Burns is the tab of the morning to you.
Very nice.
Federico sizzles as red hot hat trick leaves Pep sweating in Europe. We didn't really talk about Liverpool and all this actually over the last 24 hours. All the money floating through Turkish football. Did you see they were saying Osman's on 40 million netto in Turkey, which means he ain't leaving.
No. Nice little setup.
Yeah.
They love him there as well. I don't know if you saw they did a TIFO for his mother who passed away when he was young.
That kid.
Before the game, and he was in tears before.
So like, at least then,
he's not leaving. They love
this
him
is
there.
Like, well, Matt Williams was telling us about over in Japan. It's all netto. The lads are going over there. Why not? Like Liverpool, I'm not sure will they get through this, will they?
Yeah, well, I think Galatasaray playing it away to them is extremely hard. The way their setup is and how their fans are booing from minute one to 90. So you'd think in Anfield they'll at least win. Maybe it goes. It'll go to extra time.
You can't back Liverpool, can you? It's not like the previous iterations of them.
Very little confidence in them. Yeah.
Totally flaky at the moment.
Mm. So Spurs could get a result on Sunday.
But that's why if your man is such a clown show, putting a new manager in and saying, okay, we're going to put 10 men behind the ball, we're going to...
Yeah.
There's going to be nil all, lads. Yeah. And it's going to be the best nil all of your careers. You'd be like, yeah, okay, we'll take that.
Mm.
The Irish Times, Ireland's goal kicking could prove a serious problem against Scotland. Nathan Johns has crunched the numbers. 70% success rate for Ireland so far in the tournament. Not good, it turns out, in professional sports. You need to be slightly better than that.
You're not having that.
Connacht's New Zealander. No, I am having it, but like it's fixable.
Yeah.
Is the point.
It's bizarre. Like, I find it bizarre with Crowley as well. Like that, he just, I don't know what's going on in his head. Like it's, if you look at Irish out halves coming through, kicking has never been a problem, really, because they're playing ball sports, they're playing soccer and GAA and then rugby.
It's a strong point, really.
It's really a point of difference for them traditionally.
Like. Yeah.
And both Prendergast and Crowley, maybe it's a piece of the mental side, the competition they have. Like you've seen Crowley be a brilliant kicker at times, but like some of the misses last week.
It's the shot clock, I think, is really affecting Crowley. He's a pretty long routine. Especially
maybe start the routine a bit quicker then. But even the strike itself, I think he seems to be just like jabbing at it. And it's like...
Yeah.
There's a piece of overthinking, maybe. I'm always questioning. I do think you need to think about your technique and what you're going to do. But it's just, I find some of the misses, and like they are bad misses from Crowley. Yeah. What? I agree, Jared. It's definitely fixable. The amount of time these players will have spent every week, every day, thinking and practicing their routine. And it just seems to be so, so unreliable. And it's, for Ireland, the team, on top of trying to win Grand Slams or obviously trying to do something special at a World Cup, you cannot be that erratic. And it's the case for both of them.
Yeah.
I seen Raj had a piece on it. Obviously, he'd love to get a hold of Crowley for an hour or two and talk him through. But Crowley's obviously doing all this stuff.
They have Sexton in there. He's one of the best kickers of all time.
You know, it's, I find it bizarre.
Yeah.
But he stands up and you do not have confidence.
Sexton did have... It wasn't always that.
Yeah.
Sexton has missed massive pressure kicks.
The New Zealand game?
Yeah. The New Zealand game in the World Cup, the one that we got absolutely hammered in.
Missed a big kick, yeah.
Well, in Japan. Mm. The kicking that day was terrible. He was missing touch. It was like George Ford against Ireland. So even the best kickers have bad times and it's totally fixable. That's my thing. I do think there's a confidence bit where it's like, you don't trust me, you're going to drop me as soon as I miss stuff. That's
maybe that ain't it. Yeah, too, can't get away from that.
Like, were you going to bring up Sam Gilbert there?
Get confidence, stupid. What?
Were you going to bring up Sam Gilbert there? I thought you were reading a headline about him. He's a New Zealander that's coming to Connacht.
Sorry, yeah, he's not qualified for Ireland, unfortunately. No. But he's got like 80, some, there's a percentage there, 83.5%.
He kicked like 20. Oh, no,
sorry, that's how much we were supposed to get, and we're down at 70, so.
Yeah.
Sam Gilbert's percentage. I had it right there a second. 89%.
He kicked like 27 in a row in the ERC.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
So that's kind of the level you want to be getting to. We're pretty far off that. Now like
Crowley has it in him though. It's definitely in there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're not going to get much better coached than Sexton at the same time, so I don't know. I'm not a kicking expert.
But we don't know how good a coach Johnny Sexton is, do we? We know he's a great kicker.
What he's talking about when it comes to kicking.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're a great coach. Do this. Just do it. Glenn Hoddle.
Roy Keane.
You know, like, you're just taking it as a fact that he's a brilliant coach.
No.
He never learned how to teach.
I don't think kicking is a really complicated thing, though.
Kicking's easy, is it?
No, didn't say that either.
Not complicated, simple.
In terms of, like, it's probably not overly hard to translate what you're trying to get across. It's not like setting up attack and trying to teach lads how to play a 1-3-2-2 offense. Like, it's not that complicated. It's just like, anyway, we're going down a rabbit hole here.
You're Dr. Bob Rotella here.
Digging a rave for myself.
Dave Albert, kick a girl.
He's like a multi-millionaire out the back.
Unbelievable. Johnny Wilson. Yeah. He was sniffing around a bit of GAA as well. Now he has. Yeah, I've come across him before.
Dave Albert.
Yeah.
Did it help? Well, you weren't ever a free taker from the ground. You were always from your hands.
I was never a free taker at all. Like.
Wait, but you won a free, you take it, no?
No, I'd win and just hand it over. All right. Professionals like Dino. Throw up.
In fairness,
over.
Dino's around, you're like...
Exactly. Well, Dino would have done a bit of work for him, yeah.
Right.
But that's what, when it comes to the kick, these kickers are like, the time they put into it, you would not believe it. Like outside of just normal training and normal game preparation, they are obsessive. Like. And no doubt Crowley is in that bracket.
Yeah.
And that's why you just find it so bizarre. And I've seen him kick brilliantly for Munster, kick brilliantly for Ireland before, and it just seems the last, definitely the piece you've said, Gerard, about maybe there's a lack of confidence in it. You're looking over your shoulder. That's hard to perform in any sport where it's like, if I make one mistake here, they're just itching to get Prendergast back in. But then Prendergast has had it as well. He's totally erratic with his kicking as well. Some unbelievable kicks, and then some, it's their misses. And how bad the misses are.
That's it.
It's bizarre. Like,
that's it.
So I'm intrigued to see how it develops with Crowley. Because, like I say, he's the man now. So that pressure is, like, he's going to be playing against Scotland. Obviously, you'd imagine outside of Prendergast going on an absolute rider over stuff in the spring and leading Leinster to a Champions Cup. He might even be the 10 at Leinster for that run. Crowley's going to play in the summer too.
Yeah.
So that pressure is probably eased a bit. But what... I just look at his kicks and it's like, particularly the one he missed, the conversion last week against Wales in front of the post. He's like just jabbing at it. It just seems like maybe it's rush star, you're right, but you still have, what, 45 seconds on the shot? Start your routine a bit earlier. Yeah. Get straight into your routine and give yourself time.
I think that's getting in his head though as well, because even for Osborne's try, he nearly goes in to rip the ball off Osborne as if he's tackling him to get the ball and start his routine. So maybe that's a mental thing that he knows that he doesn't have that much time. And that's messing with his head.
The kick just seems jabby. It's anything, always about golf swings, and Allard would be big on this. Like, look at like the best swings, like Lowry or something, it's just languid, it's easy. Crowley's kick just looks like he's jabbing at it now. He's not following through all that stuff. So he's going to be looking at this more than any of us or any opinion pieces. So I think he'll figure it out, but it's just surprising. And if it doesn't work, if it isn't fixed... Look at the teams that do well at the World Cup. Look at Pollard and what he did with South Africa. Like, you can't win the biggest games. The margins are too small if you're leaving 3-4 kicks behind you every game.
Yeah, can't be done. 2 minutes past 8. A reminder, Off the Wall Breakfast is with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following a pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash machine.
Cash machine.
It's our biggest prize ever. It is a guaranteed €300,000. Somebody is going to take this all on the 20th of March. The cash machine amount is €300,000. Text OTB to 57557. It's 250. Plus your standard message to play your pen across the Go Loud network of stations. All you got to do is text OTB to 57557. Make sure your entry's in by 3 o'clock on the 20th of March. Cash machine then randomly picks a number. If we call, you answer within five rings, tell us the prize amount, and it's yours. €300,000 exactly. Text OTB to 57557. John Duggan from Cheltenham next.
Off the Ball's cash machine.
Off the Ball. GAA.
I mean, there was a lot of made of Congress at the weekend, and a lot of different things came out of Congress. But for me, to be honest with you, I won't say it's off the ball. I think it's off the wall in terms of something like that coming into hurling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
John Duggan, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Ger, Paddy and Dara.
So the racing was great yesterday. No one's talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And Willie Mullins again. Look, it's kind of unfair on Willie Mullins and Paul Townend that we're talking about them in such a routine manner, given the brilliance that they continue to show and the consistency. It's so hard in a sport to show consistency. That's what they keep on doing. Three winners yesterday for Willie Mullins. He's now at 118 winners for the festival. He had the big race winner again in the champion chase, Il Était Temps, for Paul Townend. He also had Kitz Buhel in the novices chase under Harry Cobden. Great jumper, that horse, Kitz Buhel. And King Roscoe Gray, 11-1. Willie Mullins, shocked at the price, said he would have told his mates if he'd have known it'd be 11-1. There was that much confidence behind King Roscoe Gray. So that gives hope to us all that sometimes the price can be just completely random. And that was great. And there's another couple of good stories, I think, that Connor Stone-Walsh, he's a young Wexford rider. He had his first festival winner on Final Orders for Gavin Cromwell in the cross-country chase. And we also had Colin Keane, is a flat jockey. So he is now riding for Judmont, the big breeding operation. And you might see their colours on the flash, like the kind of classic colours of Dancing Brave, the pink, the green and the white. So he's ridden an Irish Derby winner. He's been 6 times Irish champion flat jockey. And the only race without obstacles at Cheltenham is the bumper. It's a 2 mile flat race, but it's for jumps horses of the future. And Noel Mead in Meath, where Colin is from as well, asked Colin to ride the Mourn Rambler in the bumper at Cheltenham this year. And they won, which was brilliant for Phil Potty, the owner, and a really excited, shall we say, syndicate. Or I don't know if you even know if it's a syndicate, but it was a support team of lads in down scarves going absolutely mental when the Mourn Rambler won. So it was the tricolour was back, lads, for one day only, and maybe today and maybe tomorrow it'll be back again. But it was over the shoulders of Colin Keane, first Cheltenham ride and a winner, and he used all his flat racing experience to win that. So that was a lovely story.
Yeah, and then what happened with Nico de Boinville. So it happens pre-race, it happens after race on ITV, and then there's further stuff when the Racing Post reports the details of what's alleged to have happened.
Is there a Netflix documentary in this, JD? That's what he's looking for, the salacious rumours. This seems to be the biggest story of the festival so far, unfortunately, but it seems to be gathering momentum as well. The racial piece that Declan Queeley mentioned last night as well seems to have brought it to another level.
It's gone from a spicy spat at a start of a race. And there's a lot of technicalities about starts and where jockey should be and the frustrations with the starter. And look, obviously, this is the biggest week of the year. This is Cheltenham week. Everybody's on edge. Everybody's had dreams for 6 months, a year. Jockeys are wasting a lot of them to get to certain weights, so they're sometimes grumpy. The course itself is quite tight. It's a tight track. And if you've got 21 runners in a race, and as I said last night to Owen, I was down there actually at the final hurdle for the start of the first race, the Turners Novices, and all the horses going right past me. And the size of the horses, you just do not see on TV how big they are and how quick they go. So they had to have a standing start for this race. That caused frustration because jockeys are obviously got to get a position because on that type of ground and a turning track, you have to be, if you're not in the front rank, as we saw with No Drama this end, the favourite, whose chance pretty much went early doors. People are then going to have sharp elbows about it. But that's happened before. It'll happen again. Then there's an altercation between Declan Queeley and the amateur jockey from Waterford and Nico de Boinville, the former Gold Cup winning jockey and the jockey probably associated most with Constitution Hill. So there's verbals. Okay, this can happen in sport. You know yourself, Paddy, there's often verbals in sport, right? Sometimes it boils over. Sometimes it's just part of the game, right? Matt Chapman then of ITV, just interviewing the jockeys as he does. Sometimes it's just very much, ran well or ran poorly, and they're just walking in. And then he Declan Quigley gave more than maybe Matt Chapman bargained for. Said he was abused, said it was horrific. And then Nico de Bourneville said, well, when he was asked that and said what Declan had said, well, he said, well, maybe Declan should look in the mirror. So I'm just going to myself, you know what, this is spicy stuff. Yeah, this is nice stuff to talk about on a kind of a quiet day compared to the Gold Cup. And we'll talk about it later. And just look, maybe it's just as bizarre a sport as, you know, Paddy, at Croke Park, you're not going into the Kerry dressing room after the All-Ireland to sit with them. That's what they're doing here at Cheltenham. They're all sitting together. Yeah, so you've just tried to cut each other's heads off, and then you're going to sit down beside each other and have a cup of tea and have a nice chat. So it is a bizarre situation of horse racing where you're sitting beside your competitor. But a lot of horse racing over the years, over the two decades or so I've covered it, there generally is a sense with the sport that this kind of stuff is generally kept in house. If there's generally a disagreement and things can boil over, and then look, it all calms down. But it went from spicy in my mind to serious, because Declan Quigley was interviewed by the Racing Post, which is the trade newspaper, last night, and he said it was competitive down there. I got repeated racial abuse from Nico de Bourneville when I was coming in around the corner, and he called me this and that and FNP and a couple of times in front of the ITV camera. I just didn't talk back to him. Thankfully, I didn't open my mouth. There was a complaint lodged with the stewards regarding an incident at the start. No more details than that. The stewards, having heard the initial evidence in Quigley and Nico de Bourneville, have adjourned the matter to obtain further evidence. Quigley was suspended for one day for a misconduct at the start. I believe that's just generally in terms of how he was bringing his horse to the starting line. And I don't think this has got a connection to the spat between himself and Nico de Bourneville. Nico de Bourneville has yet to respond to Declan Quigley's allegation. I was just looking in the Telegraph here today that they were saying, insiders, and just to quote, insiders of the race course on Wednesday night questioned such incendiary claims. One friend of de Bourneville dismissed suggestions that he said any sort of racist comment. And obviously, everybody's entitled to their good name until this matter progresses. But it's at the back page of the UK Times today. So it's as you say, Paddy, it's gone from a kind of a racing story to a bigger story now on the biggest week of the year.
Look, we'll keep an eye on that. And we'll see what happens, and we'll obviously await with bated breath Nico de Bourneville's trenchant defence. Can I ask you a question? Right, I've been following the top jockey market. Mark Walsh is the favourite to be top jockey with the bookies at the moment, ahead of Paul Townend.
But he's got Fact to File Today. He should win.
Right,
the Ryanair Chase. He's odds on. So that's one. And he's got I Know the Way You're Thinking, who won the Gold Cup last year. And we'll hear it later on today on the PM show. But Gavin Cromwell, the trainer of I Know the Way You're Thinking, gave a really positive update to me about the horse. And he feels like if the horse is in any way where he was last year when he won the race, he'll win the race again. The horse has had no form whatsoever this year in Ireland. But there is a completely different situation where Irish race has been running. As we know, it's been the wettest Ireland in hardly the history of time. Over the last 2 months, and that has affected the ground at race courses. But where you have a completely different situation here at Cheltenham, it's good ground. There was 3 to 5 millimetres of water put on overnight, and it's very, very windy here at the moment. So the ground is going to dry out all the time. There's going to be rain overnight, so it will soften the ground for the Gold Cup. But the course dries out very quickly. But Mark Walsh will have rides for JB McManus and handicaps going forward. So, but Paul Townend, the way he's riding at the moment, I mean, I wouldn't be putting anybody off back in Paul Townend in the jockey's market either.
Yeah, he's, so I think it's evens for Mark Walsh. Paul Townend is 11-8. So it'd be an incredible achievement to beat Paul Townend, really, is the thing, isn't it?
Would be, yeah. Now, I'm literally just seeing what's in front of my face at the moment, so I have to get into Friday's card.
Yeah, fair enough. I just thought I'd...
in more detail.
I'm sure we can chat about it again as the week goes on. So what are you looking at today, JD?
Well, we have our racing pod with 10 o'clock with Don McLean joining myself and Johnny Ward. That'll drop in your pods, folks, at 11:30. And if you want to sign up for the Racing Pod Club, you can. You'll get my charity bets email to you. We had a second at 50-1 yesterday and a third at 20-1. So we haven't completely lost our shirt yet. And I think I'm going to nap a horse today in the 2 o'clock called Slade Steel at 8-1 for trainer Henry de Bromhead, jockey Darrow Keefe. This horse won the Supreme Novices Hurdle a couple of years ago here at Cheltenham and has his career and over fences hasn't really got off the ground. He's been never been out of the first three in his life, though. At 8-1, I think he might be an each way bet as our nap today. But look, it's competitive again. I'm just going through the races today. You got three grade ones. You got the Mares Hurdle, Woodhoo for Gordon Eddies, who hasn't had a winner here yet, against Jay DeGruzzi for Willie Mullins. We have Factified, as I said, the odds on favour for the Ryanair Chase. And the Stairs Hurdle has an open field to us. Tio Poo and Bob Ollinger, former winners of the race, are in there. 114 runners, though, again today, folks. And it's hard to find a winner here, and hopefully we'll find one by the time we get to tomorrow night.
All right, JD, good stuff. Enjoy. Thanks a million. Enjoy,
lads, JD. Take care. Good Thank luck. You.
Yeah, that's a lot of horses to know all the details of.
Scribbling away here furiously for today. Thank you, JD, as always.
114. We didn't do our Brabourne competition earlier this week, so it's time for us to do it. Which Premier League team did current Brentford manager Keith Andrews make his senior debut for? This is a WhatsApp-only competition. The prize is a €100 Brabourne voucher. 0879 180 180 is the number. Just tell us, what Premier League team did current Brentford manager Keith Andrews make his senior debut for? Make sure you put your name beside it as well. Here's some Pep Guardiola after the 3-0 defeat last night. Have a listen to this.
We have seen some amazing comebacks in this competition. How positive do you feel that you can turn this around at home?
Now is recover mentally a little bit, the physicality, and go to West Ham in London will be tough, you know, for the Premier League. See, we are there, and after, yeah, we see with our people. I'm pretty sure they will come, and your football never know. We are going to find something, or we're going to read what they, you know, what they have done to do it, and we'll try.
How big are these next few weeks for Manchester City in all four competitions that could define your season?
Yeah, it's nice arrive in the end, but of course we won't extend. We will see. So now is recover and think of the next one.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's nice to arrive at the end.
That's
a man who doesn't look too stressed.
Saying the quiet bit out loud, isn't it?
Yeah, he's like,
I'm finished now.
We fly to the Maldives. Yeah. When is that? Interesting.
It's it does feel like the end. This like everybody has been talking about. It's the most open secret in football is that the Pep era is coming to an end. That he's going to go at the end of the year. He always said he'd finish his contract out and that he'd stay with them until the end of the until they find out what the charges is going to be. But that actually hasn't happened. So
You've seen Pep at his best, and they even win games, and he's spiky, and he's fighting all comers, bring it on. And to lose to Madrid, obviously not his favourite club in the world, in the manner they were beaten, and just maybe he's just really sanguine now, and that's come with age and wisdom, and it's all the fight is still there, and he's controlling it better. But again, just the latest example where it just seems he's kind of. He's ready. He's ready for the road.
It feels like it, doesn't it? And we'll miss him when he's gone. That is the thing.
He's a legend.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to get in touch this morning about anything, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. You can always get us on youtube.com/offtheball as well. A couple of quick comments from earlier on. Guay was brutal last night. He might not turn into a good signing for City. This City is not a good team, says Carol Leary. They're a mediocre outfit with players who can take a chance. Yeah. I mean, we didn't think Rodri was mediocre and we didn't think Bernardo Silva was mediocre when they were the backbone of the team that won the treble. It's just they're not in form. You know, Rodri hasn't recovered from the injury.
No.
Bernardo Silva is playing out the string. He's leaving in the summer as well.
He's tried to leave about three times already.
Yeah.
He's still fighting there. Like, so it's not a vintage City team. We know that. That's blatantly obvious. And last night was the latest example of it. Mark Guay, I think, will be a good signing for them. They were without
exactly.
Stones is kind of finished injury wise as well. So no, it's not City at their peak by any means. We know that.
Bodo are a total outlier in European football, says Puel, and Cork footballers used to train running up the hill in McCroom's GAA pitch. Send us in your hills of Ireland. That's what we want.
Darren, I get shivers thinking about this.
There you go.
Magazine Fort in the Phoenix Park. People will know that one as well. Jesus. Horrendous.
Did you train there?
I would have had a few tough mornings on that hill.
With club or county?
Both.
All right,
both.
But they'll train there as well.
More informally with Dublin, but definitely with Bridget's.
Right.
We had some
like 6 in the morning type?
Yeah, that type of stuff. The worst possible thing you can think of.
Yeah.
We were doing that, yeah.
And puking at the top.
I was never a puker.
Right.
No, but there were some individuals who were puking, yes.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.